Fred Film Radio is joining the Sydney Film Festival Australia.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the Sydney Film Festival. At least virtually, I'm in company of Laura Samani, who's there virtually to present her masterpiece. We can say that. Small bit.
Ciao, Chiara. Thank you for having me. Yes, masterpiece because it's just the first film. So let's say that so far we can call it like this. Yeah.
It was also called by the Sydney Film Festival and not only an hypnotic debut. So I think you must be happy about it.
Yes, I'm definitely. I'm over the moon about it.
So it's been called an aching fable that explores motherhood, mysticism, and grief. But how would you like describe Small Body for our audience, our English-speaking audience?
I think I've been always talking about a dark fairy tale that you could also, I mean, at least I wish that somebody could also tell a child this story, because I'm really into talking about things that scares us instead of avoiding them.
So, okay, let's try and enter this fable, the dust fable, and it talks about a woman trying to free the soul of her stillborn child. So that's basically the story, like very basically the story in your film. That can we say that it's set in ancient times, but it really tackles, you know, contemporary issues?
Yes, definitely, because, well, the plot is that a woman that comes from an island at the beginning of the 20th century, and she comes from a context of Catholic fishermen, to sum it up, let's say, and when she gives birth to her first child, the baby is stillborn. So according to Catholic rules, the baby that were without breath at the birth were condemned to go to limbo because you couldn't baptize them. So this was the Catholic law at the time. And what she finds out is that there is a sanctuary on the mountains. She has never been on solid land. She has always been living on an island. And on these mountains, there is a sanctuary where you can bring stillborn babies back to life in order to baptize them. So just for the time of one breath. And this is something that is witnessed in documents. So there really, this sanctuary used to exist, and some of them are still existing, even though they lost its original purpose because limbo doesn't exist anymore since 2007, because the Pope decided so. So this is a good news. But yes, it's definitely talking to the contemporary times, not because of limbo, as I mentioned, but because in a way, it's talking about something that is universal and international, and it has no time, which is detachment. So I didn't want to talk about necessarily about miscarriage and about afterlife in Catholic beliefs, but I wanted to talk about something that is that it has like no boundaries, no color, no age in a way, which is detachment.
I was thinking, did you decide like to tell this detail because also of its connections to because of its universality that you're talking about, the ability of this tale to talk to everybody, no matter where you're from, on where they're from, or how old they are, and all that?
No, to be honest with you, no, because I always start from an egoistic point of view. So I want to free myself from my obsessions. And yeah, this sounds very egoistic probably, but this is what happens in my brain. So when I got into something that really touches me, but then starts to haunt me, I need to talk about it to other people. And the funnel that I am using now is cinema, so it's filming. But it's just a funnel. So it's a way, it's a pretext to share emotions, to share obsessions, to share fears with other people, and to give new shapes to these thoughts. Because otherwise, you know, if you keep things into yourself and you just talk with yourself, then the things start growing inside of you, but they need to go out somehow. And so filming it and talking about it and giving it shape is, to me at least, the best way at the moment.
I love that, and I agree. And I want to add, like, that this film never left me in the stages of mind that he put me in. And there are some images that stay with me, and I think that will stay with me forever. And I think that it's a magic of cinema and your cinema so far. So that's why I
think
that's
my body
must be seen.
Thank you.
And so you're in a Sydney Film Festival. Your film will screen and is screening at the Sydney Film Festival in the program strand that is called Europe, Voices of Women in Film, that Fred is partnered with, along with Screen International. Besides you, there are other 9 female directors in this program. And one of the things that have been discussed, and then so I want to ask you your opinion about, is that if female directors, if female filmmakers only talk or mainly talk about female protagonists and female tales, is that true?
Oh, that's an amazing question. First of all, the talk, so the panel that we had together was really inspiring. And I'm really sorry that I'm not managing yet to meet there in person, because I was really looking for Radu, but maybe it will happen in the next future. And the fact that was really inspiring was that we were comparing our experiences and how the ideas born in mm-hmm. the case of our different films. And I think, if I remember correctly, that most of us we're like going with the flow in crafting the idea. So it was not a political agenda to
yes.
have like a main character, a female main character. It was not on a political agenda, but it just happened. And talking from my perspective, but again, it was something really shared from some other colleague in the talk, is that it just happened. And in a way, isn't it the same that happened for centuries to male authors, like writers and directors and whatever? So, of course, right now we're talking about it because we're pointing out the fact that we are auto-representing ourselves, but it's happening in a natural way. So, in a way, when you are new to the environment, and this case mm-hmm. is filmmaking, the tendency is to auto-represent your category if we want to unbox it. Mm. So, of course, historically, I can register the tendency of the fact of having auto-representation in a way, but I definitely don't think that this is going to be like forever. Mm. Like, just to give you an example, I'm working on the second project and we have male main characters. Starting from the point that male directors have been representing for decades everything, so also the female characters, why shouldn't we do the same way around, so the other way around? But yeah, the tendency at the moment, I think it is in a way auto-representing, because I think we want to talk about ourselves, even though it's a metaphor.
And I think that of course it's, let's say, at least at the beginning, maybe it's easier to talk about something that you feel closer to. I mean, even if it's only women to women, you know, I think it's normal. As he was,
I don't have an answer to it. Honestly, I don't have an answer to it, but I think that it's like a tendency, like, let me tell you my side of the story. So let me rewrite what has been said until now, because it's like we're missing one gaze otherwise. Mm. But again, I don't think it is a conscious political agenda. It's just happening. It's just happening, and we are studying something and we're trying to analyze something that is happening in these days. So like every change, every revolution, it's difficult to tell it while you are sipping in it, while you are in it and you are contributing to it happening. I think it would be easier to understand it like a few years from now. Yeah. So if we look back, just to give you an example, talking on Small Body, if I think to what it was, the project, when we started to write it, it was really different. And we started to write it in 2016. So shortly before Me Too hit the world.
Yes.
And then we, again, not consciously, me and the two co-writers, we got influenced by what it was happening, happily happening, but still not enough. But we got influenced by it. And one of the main characters of the film, Lynch, is the result of this big wave of changing. But it was not conscious. We were like absorbing it like sponges. And because we are political animals and we have our opinion on the world. So in a way, without sitting around the table and saying, okay, now let's create this character because it has to embody our idea on the world. It just happened. And this is cool because if we look back to it retrospectively, we understand that the reason why the character happens to be like it is because of Me Too.
Yeah. And the Me Too was one of the other questions that have been asked and answered and discussed, because it was asked, so I'm asking you, do you think, and what kind of changes, if there were, did the Me Too bring to the table?
I think foremost that there are things that are no more accepted. So, like, there is zero tolerance about things, no question about it. Like, some attitudes, like, again, the situation is better than yesterday, but still worse than tomorrow. So there is still a lot of work to do. But there are things that are no more tolerated. This is the first thing. And the second thing is that, personally speaking, it made me understood that even though you're not directly touched by some issues, you have to stand up for the others. Yeah. And again, this belongs to like our normal life, the real life, but this also belongs to, again, what it is in the project, what it is in Small Body, because what we understood during this process, because they were like, it's 2017 when Me Too hit the world. So it's like, really, it walked together. Like in our personal life, it walked together with the project. So what we understood and what we embodied in the film, again, not consciously, is the fact that you cannot free yourself if you don't free other people. So even though it doesn't directly affect you because maybe you're white or you're rich or you have always been in not abusive relationships, for example, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have an impact on you. Because if it is, it's like the common body, let's say, no? So if it affects someone else, you have to stand up still.
One last question that it's still universal, is seeing women, woman related, but it's also Italian. Do you feel that something is really changing in terms of accessing the same, let's say, funds and possibilities of men directors? So you think that something is really changing in the industry, or is it like an imposed change, a sort of a fake change, politically correct one?
Yeah, I think what I'm registering at the moment, no, I have to go back to the fact that I have been raised in a family where I didn't have to worry about the fact that I was a female. I don't know if it's clear what I mean.
No, meaning
that I've been treated as a person and not as a girl. And this gave to me, I don't know how to say that, this gave to me a tool to front the world with a really firm attitude, like not begging for things or being afraid of the fact that I could be rejected, because I didn't experience rejection for a lot of time until when I hit the professional side of life. And then I understood that, okay, this is what people meant when they said that there is a gender gap, because I didn't grow up experiencing the gender gap. So I experienced it, I started experiencing it in working. And I started surrounding myself with people that I like. First of all, because I like them and because they're a person, not because they're like girls or boys. Just because I like them and they make me feel okay when we work together. But I think that there is still a lot of work to do, and I am aware of my privilege because I'm white and I come from Europe. So, of course, there is the gap of the fact that I am a woman, but this is not an handicap, and I don't want to treat it like an handicap. So I think, yes, as I said, there are things that are changing already, not enough yet. And I think the only thing we can do is keeping in mind that we are a person and we have to keep it in balance. Of course, if there are gaps to fill, there is something that the net has to do, first of all, to keep each other closer, not excluding men from this process. It's important to include them in this process. And it's important to talk about what arms us and what scares us again, because otherwise it's just going to be, you know, like loneliness and theory.
I love that. Thank you, Laura, for this talk, and good luck with Small Body your next project. So
thank you, until the next time.
And we've been talking to Laura Samani, director of Small Body at the Sydney Film Festival in the program strand Europe, Voices of Women in Film. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.